stopped, Lamed Hey, and we just got talking about the difference of 1/12. It was the difference between Rabbi Yosef's understanding of Shmuel and Rava's understanding of Shmuel. It was 1/12 of our shiur of Halifa, which is boiled down to 1.5 minutes. Okay, so that was the question of whether we include the Hichsif Tachrein, whereas the Elyon is still Herdim, whether that's considered to be the beginning of Bein HaShemashas, that's the end part of Bein HaShemashas, that wasn't clear. Okay, we got up to now the Chilufa B'Challah Tach. You'll notice that this next piece of Gemara actually is going to relate the two sugyas, even though they're totally unrelated in any conceptual way. However, they're related coincidentally in numbers. As it turns out that what Rabbi Yosef was saying was that Shmuel said Shnei Chalkei Mil, which we came out to understand means 2/3, was going to Rava with Shlosha Chalkei Mil, which we understand meant 3/4. So the relationship of 2 to 3 and 3 to 4 is inverted when it comes to a kaveret, which is good news because the sugya of kaveret anyway was upside down, we had earlier. So now, if you take a look, you have chilufa. Just the easy way to remember the two sugyas is chilufa bechalata. If you have a container of kaveret can be used also generally as a container. The issue over here is the din of kalim. Is the din of kalim similar to the halacha of kalim legabi tuma? You'll recall that when it comes to tuma, kli eitz are similar to kli tzak. They have to be mitaltel maleverekan. If they're too large to be mitaltel maleverekan, then they're no longer mekabel tuma. When we say too large, it would mean not necessarily that you have to be able to carry it in your hands, but too large in terms of their construction. If you attempt to move the kli, it's likely to break. Certainly you can't carry some of the shiurim that we're going to be talking about. Although there are some rishonim who learn it otherwise, as I'll mention. So if you have a kaveret, if we assume that the din of mukta and tiltul of kalim is similar to tumah, it would mean that a kli, that it cannot be mitultal, is not meant to be mitultal normally, can also not be moved on Shabbos, because it loses its shame kli in terms of mukta. And by the way, originally, we have to recall that the original takon of mukta, way back in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, when there was a lot of hanky-panky going on about tiltul on Shabbos, and mechira on Shabbos, stores open on Shabbos, as is recorded in Nehemiah, the takona of mukta included everything. The original takona, we'll see later on the Gemara, was very chamur. You were only allowed to move food for eating purposes and kalim for eating food. You couldn't move anything else on a shop. They gradually relaxed the stringency of mukta. And we have a machloket today how far it was relaxed. There's still, and the nice remnant is it's Rabbi Nechemya Shita, there's still Rabbi Nechemya Shita was very similar to Nechemya himself. Because Rabbi Nechemya Shita is that indeed you cannot move any kli, even today, other than for the purposes for which it's designed. And we'll talk about that. There's areas in which it's even nogeil halacha. So the question over here is whether there was ever relaxation of the dinim of tiltol on kalim that are too large normally to be mitultah. L'maisa Tosfos says over here this whole thing is shalok halacha. And he brings rayas that to us it makes no difference how large a kli is. If you're mitatol, it's fine as long as it's a kli shalatolay atar. We don't, this is an artificial construct, this idea, according to Tosfos. We don't pask him on. And so Paskins the Mishnah Berurah as well, with one caveat, which is that if the kli is so large and you're worried about breaking it that you would therefore be koveat makom, then it's similar to muktzamat beschisaron kis, where you set it aside, you don't want it to be moved, so fight over there. But that's not a din in the kli. So here we have a machloket. Both of the shitot that are being quoted here, and the third shitot will be quoted later, all buy into a type of muktzah that we don't have, which is a kli that is too large to be moved. So there we have a reversal of the shitas of Rabbi Yosef and Rav. Because Rava says over there, Achalata batrei kuri, if you have a 2-kur kaveret, it's mutter to be metaltalit. A 3-kur is usser to be metaltal. So that puts Rava in a position of relating to 2/3, so to speak. Whereas here he relates to 3/4, Rabbi Yosef relates to 3. That's the only relationship between the two shitas, the two sugyas. Rabbi Yosef Omer, but tlata kuri namishari, 3 is actually mutter, but arba kuri is usser, and 4 is usser. Whereas Abaye says, look, I just want you to know that I asked Rava when it was actually a question halach l'masa. I had to move something of this size, and I was hoping that he would be matir at least the treikuri, as he said over here. And the bottom line was that I feel about treikuri lo sharili. When it came halach l'masa, he was machmer on me, didn't allow me to move even a 2-kur container. Why? Kiman ki hai tana, because he found a tana that held that size was us. It's not kaveret made out of kash or kaveret made out of kanim. And a bor svina alexandrit. Now, bor svina alexandrit simply means the water cistern on a large ocean-going vehicle, boat. And that was so large, as what they did was they had to take along a lot of sweet water, so they created a cistern. They didn't build the cistern out of the material of the boat. It was a kli. But it was an absurdly large kli in terms of moving it. And therefore, even though they're built as normal kelim, they have bottoms. It's not that they're just in an outline that's put on the surface of the boat or of the ground. If they're so large that they can hold 40 saw liquid measure, which includes in a solid measure kurayim, which is 60 saw, because after all, in a solid measure, you can also pile up things on top, which liquids have a tendency not to stick with. So if it's biyavesh, you could stick kurayim on there. Then it's too large and it's taros. According to this, even shnei kurim would be too large to be mekabel tumah, and never too large to be metatel mishum. Now the Ravid points out that according to this, less than arbaim sod would be considered to be metatel melegareka. And he points out that that's absurd. Nobody can carry something of that size. Arbaim sod works out to a fragment. It's approximately 10 kilo a sod. So who the heck can possibly carry? He's assuming metalta means metalta without aid, without kalium and so forth. Yeah, I mean, otherwise that's the problem. I put it on wheels anyway.
He has
ideas.
That's the regular way.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely. Sometimes he's taking as the principle mentioned before. If the question is that it's not strong enough to be moved because the movement is going to put so much stress on it because of its contents that it'll break, then it's easy to understand. He takes it to mean the right bit. And the Ritva apparently agrees that his hanakha is correct because he gives a very straight sense. He says, remember that after all of the shiurim of the Torah are meant for the time of Har Sinai. Wow, those human beings, they could lift 400 kilo without any problem. I mean, when you're fighting Og Melech HaBashan, there's no problem in lifting 400 kilo. And after all, this was the Dor HaMidbar and son. So it turns out that the dinner of Muktzah, since we're being masmik then, on the similarity to Sak, which is Metalti Molivarek, and so now it comes out to be dependent on the Diraisa. So the Diraisa Shiurim were based on this man of Kabbalah Sotay. And once you say that, you can understand why there was a Chazanish Gezayim. for Og Melech HaBashan.
Today I'm sure you're stronger than this.
I guess so. All right, but in any event, I mean, it certainly appears that the shear is more dependent on the structural problems of the kli than on the ability of a particular individual for this stuff to
cleave. See, he's got his refrigerator on the back. It's a heavy
time. That's 400 kilo. This is ridiculous. Now, here we're talking about this man. There's Tiulim up the mountain and down the mountain every morning. Okay, so we therefore have a connection to our sugya. Anyway, by the way, this is a bayi. You notice over here the relationship of the liquid measure to the overflow of the solid measure, when we stack it, is a relationship of one-third. When we say one-third, we mean milabar. In other words, 50%. 50% of the original, you know, in your men's shop when you gave a 50% reduction, was it 50% of the total price, or was it 50% of the original price? So, I don't know. But over here we have a 50%, which is one-third, essentially, one-third of the total. Because if you take 40 saw, 2 kur is 60 saw, so it means 50% of the 40 saw, now added to the total is one-third. So the difference between the liquid and the solid, the gucha, how would you say gucha in English? The part that...
The heaping
tablespoon. The heaping kli would be 30%. Anyway, getting back to our sugya, where it was a question of the sunlight that's reflected off of the atmosphere, Abaye saw Rava, the Kadavi le Ma'arav, he was looking towards the west in order to see whether it was Ben Hashemashot. It's supposed to be where our davening comes from. As we daven here, we look towards him. Omalei, Vatani goes much plain Mizrachim. I thought, doesn't it say the east? You're looking the wrong direction. Omalei, Misabit, the name Mizrachim Hamash. What will you think that it means literally? To the east. To the east, it means to the west. The panim ha-ma'adimim et ha-mizrach. It's to the side where the sun is that is what's making the east reflect. Others say actually, it was Rava who saw Baye, who was looking towards the east, and he told him, "What are you doing? Mi savet the name is Rav Mamash. Panim ha-ma'adimim et ha-mizrach. The simanecha. The way to think about this is a kafta, a window. This is the window from which the sun is shining off of the other side. You want to look? Look in the window." We're giving you the simon over here. The simon, you look at the window directly. And the chenyon there. Kidei shi halecha dan mi she tishakach ama chatzimil. Omer b'chanina harotzele da shiuro shiro min chenyon. You want to know a simple reference of that shiur. Yaniya chama tipito in you. Yaniya chama v'rosh ha-karmel. The thing to do is to leave the sun on top of Har HaKarmel. V'yered v'yitbol bayam, and go down, do yourself a little tefillah in honor of Shabbos, v'yale, and you get up again. V'zeh shiuro shel Rebbe Nechemya. Now, l'maisa, the Rishonim understand this to mean, and as Tosis points out over here, we never would have taken a shiur of going to the mitzvah just for kids. That's a little ridiculous. We must be talking about going to the mitzvah in a way that will allow you to be taught, meaning to do Harif Shemesh. That must be the point. In other words, that you will also thereby have time to become tor with vadai, meaning there wouldn't be benesh vashod. And by the time you get back up, this is the way most of the Rishonim learn, back up to Har HaKarmel, you will then know that you're not only tor, but by the time you get back up, it's now vadai laila. There's a fascinating, a famous Chassam Sefer who understands the Gemara as meaning not that you're on the top of Har HaKarmel, but rather, and this is what Rashi says here too, that the Shemesh is near al Rosh HaHarim before Shkiyah. So, in other words, what you're going to see is you're going to see the sun level somewhere shining off of the Rosh HaHarim. That's a little bit of a problem. That means you're really close to the end of Shkiyah time. Others learn on the level of Rosh HaHarim, which is also strange because that's usually called al Rosh HaIlanot. Not al Rosh HaHarim, which some learn is the meaning of Rosh HaIlanot. Rosh HaIlanot, some learn, and this is not the way we're knowing, that it means the sun is reflecting off the Rosh HaIlanot, which would mean that you wouldn't be davening the Ilah until Mamish, or a few minutes before Shkia, which would be no way you could ever complete it. At least like this, we understand Bir Rosh HaIlanot is a reference to Plaga Mincha. This is a way of referring to Plaga Mincha. So here we would be talking about al Rosh Har HaKarmel. Okay, so if you learn that if you're standing on Har HaKarmel, you still have a clear view of the sun, the entire body of the sun then is still up there, and then you come down, and then you go back up Har HaKarmel, this makes sense. The way that Chassam Sofer understood it is that you see the sun, but you see the sun from ground level. You're next to the sea level, because you're next to the Yam, and the shear is a shear of tefillah alone. And he has a real problem with this, because the Gemara elsewhere is Mashah, the shear of tefillah, the shear of Bechtei HaTfilos Pras. And here it's saying 9 minutes, because it's saying the shir of Rebbe Nechemya, that's Chatzimil. Chatzimil is Mikubal. I mean, 18 minutes for a meal. Would be 9 minutes, he brings Raya from elsewhere. Shir Tzimil is only Chabishinama. How long it would take a normal person to sleep for a big but jump back? Come on again, it's Chabishinama. Where do you get a shir of 9 meals? Of 9 minutes. So therefore, Ben Titus on him. What do you mean? But all the Rishonim say he's going back. Oh, Zahara Carmel, not that it's the shear of the tefillah itself. Yeah, the Gemara is seemingly aren't there. I mean, a guy can do that in 9 minutes? Here we are. And now, from someone who lives in that neighborhood.
Descended from Rebbe Nechemya. The question is, where in the Carmel? But if you're at the beginning of the Carmel, you could get up there and go in 9 minutes, etc.
It says the Rosh HaKarmel. What's called the Rosh HaKarmel?
The peak from the bottom, you can't do it in 9 minutes.
But unless this is a remez to taking the Carmelite. Very quickly. Doesn't do it in 9 minutes. Up and down. No, you're right. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, if this is supposed to be an easy reference to Leida Shiur Shrav Nechem instead of simply taking a hike of a Chatzimil, and then I don't know.
What is advertising that simply pro bono?
Why do they use the Carmel? That's not Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim. Why do they use a standard on the Carmel?
Ah, well, we're about to learn more about the Carmel. Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Yechia, Harotze Lirot Be'erashel Miriam. Now, the question is, the Carmel is very important to us because the Carmel is the area where the Be'erashel Miriam was hidden in the Yam. So it followed us into Eretz Yisrael. And of course, was prevented from landing by Mechas, but it was left outside the forest, in the forest. And so, if you want to see the Be'er of Miriam, Ya'alel Rosh HaKarmel, go up to the top of the Carmel, v'yitzapeh, and there take a lookout, v'yir'eh kimin kibara b'yam. You will see what appears to be a sieve in the Yam, and zui Be'er Shel Miriam. And Omar Rab Ma'ayana Mitaltel, since this is a serious problem in the dinim of Tumah Betaira. Because normally a well cannot be Makabel Tumah. But what do you do if you have a portable well? There's a portable well. There's only one portable well in the world, and that's Be'er Shel Miriam. So if you have a portable well, is that a Kli, and is it Makabel Tumah? Or is it a well, and it's Mayim Chayim, and it's Tar? Have you ever got a real problem?
Karka,
well, it can't really be in the karka because it follows you. So, on the other hand, water is pouring out of it, so it must be mechuber to the tahom. So, what's the din? Says Rav, a portable ma'ayan, a spring that is portable, is tar. Of course, the only reference here is Vizel Be'erashel Miriam. And so, if you're going to be tovel, what better place?
What
The Zvulun and the Kinneret. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Bein Hashmashot, the Rav Yehuda, Kohanim, that's Mitzvah HaYamim, that's what it's really referring to. Bein Hashmashot, the Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel says a strange thing, that during the Bein Hashmashot of Rav Yehuda, a Kohen can be Tovel, and will then be Tahar. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Laman, according to whom can a Kohen be Tovel? I mean, you certainly can't mean that according to Rav Yehuda, who says that Bein Hashmashot is a Safek, that a Kohen could go and be Tovel if it's Safek Yom Safek Laila, and then assume that it's Tahar. Maybe the next day he has to wait until the end of the next night for Harif Shemesh. So Sveka, Ella, what are you telling me? That Bein Hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's, after all, it's Karavayans and Nichnas, it's like a blink of an eye. You're telling me the Kohen could go to the mikveh during the time of Rabbi Yehuda, because that's considered to be broad daylight, according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that it's all Karavayans. And then he would be Tahar, even though he needs Harif Shemesh, because only afterwards is it time for Shkia, according to Rav Yossi. Therefore, I mean, say it's according to Rav Yossi. No, that's the case. What's the Chiddush? Shita? It's not at all Shita. How do you know when Rav Yossi's Karavayan is? Are you so sure that Rav Yossi's Karavayan is after the Shira of Rav Yehuda? Might it not be included within the Shira of Rav Yehuda? So in other words, what the Tana is telling us, Rav Yehuda, is good for this Chiddush. That when Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree with you in Bein Hashmashot, it's not a long period. It's actually Zeh Nichnas, Zeh Yotzei. Zeh Yotzei Zeh Nichnas. It means following the Bein Hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda in its entirety. Now comes the Bein Hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, Mao de Tema, Bein Hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi, Meshach Shariach with Rabbi Yehuda. I might have thought that the last moments of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein Hashmashot are the moments of Rabbi Yossi's Bein Hashmashot. Gamar Shmulan, the Shalim Bein Hashmashot Rabbi Yehuda, Vahadar Matzchil Bein Hashmashot Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, it teaches us that no, that's not the case. First, we have a completion of all of the Safek of Rabbi Yehuda, and then begins the Bein Hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi, which would mean that a Kohen who gets out of the mikveh during the time of Bein Hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda is Tahor, even in terms of Arif Shemesh, Aliba Rabbi Yossi.
So, the Bein Hashmashot,
right.
Not Bein Hashmashot, not Toh Bein Hashmashot.
That's the Chiddush, and it's after, completely, not Toh. Precisely, that's the Chiddush.
That Harifayim is considered a certain amount of time, not
yes,
just a
non-time. Yes, we're going to see more about that in a moment in Tosfos. Omer Rav Yochanan, halakha k'Rav Yehuda le'inyan Shabbat, v'halakha k'Rav Yossi le'inyan Truma. Now, what this seems to be saying is that when it comes to Shabbos, we're going to be machmir, in other words. Don't think that you can keep doing melacha until the later Bein Hashmashot of Rav Yossi. No, you're going to have to stop right at the beginning of the Shkia, which is the Rav Yehuda Bein Hashmashot. But what is the meaning of halakha k'Rav Yossi le'inyan Truma? What does that mean? But we're going to be makel, that you can rely on a tefillah during the Bein Hashmashot of Rav Yehuda, I mean, Truma is a deraita. Why would we be makel? So, basically, halakha k'Rav Yossi le'inyan Shabbat, I understand what that means. That means l'chumra. L'inyan Truma, what exactly is the psak over here that we should follow Rav Yossi's Bein Hashmashot in terms of Truma? I mean, ilema le'tefillah, what are you saying? That it's okay to be tovel all the way till the time of the Bein Hashmashot of Rav Yossi, which would mean that we're going to rely on his shita, that Bein Hashmashot of Rav Yehuda is yom, l'kula, on the nisa d'oraita of being tame for eating Truma? Sveika, yeah, they just said that when it comes to Shabbat, you have to be makros. Obviously, all this, at least it's a fake. I mean, that's Rav Yehuda. So why would you say l'inyan Truma we make him? Ela la'achila the Truma means a Kohen who went to the mikveh during broad daylight. Now he says, okay, Bein Hashmashot is over, I can eat my Truma. We say to him, no, you got another few minutes. I do, sure, because Rav Yossi also Bein Hashmashot is after the time of Rav Yehuda. You're going to have to make sure that you also wait long enough to be Yotze Rav Yossi Shita, from which Tosfos derives. That when it says Keharef Ayin, I mean, this is absurd. We're sitting there arguing with him about a split second. I mean, so what's the argument? So apparently what it's saying is, what are we going to say? We're going to pask in like Rav Yossi to make sure that you include a split second, which is not Nogeya, and therefore what are you going to say? Are you going to say that the split second of Rav Yossi is sometime later? Maybe it's a half an hour after the time. In other words, once you told me it's not included in this time. It could be any time. But if that's the case, so then when we said before that the tefillah is kosher during this man of Rav Yehuda, Alibud Rav Yossi, we could have said even after this man of Rav Yehuda, Alibud Rav Yossi, if that's the case. So Tosfos suggests maybe the idea over here is that we don't know. Maybe we have a safek precisely at the moment which he calls his harifayim. So maybe we have another safek for another 5 minutes even. We can't rely on it to say that a claim can be tovel in it because we are misupak since we can't be mechaber and harifayim.
Didn't we just say that under review?
No, but maybe that meant you said it's not mishach shayach. So if it's not mishach shayach, it could be a little bit afterwards. In which case, you'd have to be mocked for another minute or two.
Definitely after.
We don't know how much after. So in other words, you'd have to make certain that you don't have a suffix as to whether perhaps it's still the time for Rav Yossi's ben Hashmasha. That would be the chumrah that he's telling us. So lo akleka an intruma. So in other words, when it's vanai lekuli alma, it's shloshik rakovim. That it's not possible to be toeh. Because again, as Tosfos explained before, our problem all along is our definition of those shloshik rakovim, which we'll be talking about shortly. So ad shalim ben hashmashot de Rav Yossi. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What does tzeta kochavim mean? Kochav echad is not kochavim. Okay, so tzeta kochavim cannot include the yitziyah of a single kochav. Shnaim, when we say kochavim, two already isn't yom, that's our suffix, that's a transition period. We're not sure if it's been ayom, it's been alayom. Shalosh, once you have shalosha kochavim, that's definitely laila. Tanya nam yachi, kochav echad yom, shnaim bin hashmashot, shalosha is laila, but there's one problem over here. In that Omer of Yosef Revavim, lo kochavim gedolim hanirim bayom, obviously we cannot include large stars. So that the star of a magnitude, which is so low that it would be seen in the day, and of course we can't include it. The local of Ktanim She'inam Nirim Elavalaila, and if you have a high magnitude star, so then you'll only see it in the deepest night.
High magnitude, what?
Yes, backwards. Ela Beinanim, what we mean is middle stars. So in other words, if we know that we could see, let's see, there's some planets, you see Venus sometimes at sunset, we're next to the moon and it's bright, and that's clearly still not the end of right after Shkiva. What am I, so I'm going to include that as one of my stars? This is not included. So if you know that during the day you could sometimes see such kochavim, forget about that. Those stars aren't included. Bichlal. Now, there are other kochavim that you know that you're only going to become visible to you when it's vadai, the middle of the night. There's no suffix that has been entered. Forget them. Now, take the kochavim that you're not sure about. So you see three of those. So now already, we're going to assume that that's laila. So that's take the kochavim. Says Tosfos, that's exactly the question over here. Because otherwise, what are we arguing about? Go out and experiment and see. I mean, what are we talking about? What the Shira Ben Hashmashot is? Just go and see. What's the relationship between Shkiat HaChama? These are astronomical phenomena. So take 10 people, make a survey. When do they see three stars? I mean, every idiot goes outside and says, there's three stars, everything's okay. I mean, so you get 10 of these idiots. And then you make a survey, and now you know how many are three stars, and now you have your exact time. What's the problem? So that, not in a particular day. Take a clear day and make Kubikove that as a standard. So he says that must be good for the Machlokas. Furthermore, as Tosfos, if the Gemara and Sakhan gives us a shear of the total period of four meals, we take as a rounded off figure, that's Rabbeinu Tam 72 minutes. Okay, but to have people walk, make a survey, and now you know from the certain time of Shkia what time they take a coffee is. What's all the big deal over here? Says Tosfos, well, the question is, what is the mean person? We say, Kadeshi Alech Adam Beinoni. What exactly is an Adam Beinoni? Psychologists have been debating this question for many, many years, and there's no question that only people with prefrontal lobotomies are considered to be an Adam Beinoni the way they
make it.
In other words, if you want to get clear about what the Shiurim are, the Torah says, Aminu Akam and Logidoli Manir Beyon Veloktani, and Alabainim, Sahash Kapulay, Poly, what's reviewed is Misakulay, the Kolako Havim and Rim Shiata Hamash, So in other words, the shear, as we pointed out yesterday, is a tautology on some level. But first tell me what the day is. I tell you what the day is, as long as there's only two kochavim that are not only the ones that are near in the yom. A lot of good that does mean. Alright. What's that?
Why only give you such a problem? The Bainan inverse for a tefach, for a dispass, for a...
Because we're apparently trying to get a very, halakhically speaking, precise time, which normally doesn't consider it. Look, in practical terms, we have exactly the same problem everywhere, right? So over here, the Gemara is attempting to give us an explanation in terms of minutes and so on. But as soon as you get a halakha that tries to give you that, you run into the same problems. And then not only that, but you get the whole question of whether perhaps things have totally changed and the definition of Beinoni is no longer what it was. And, you know, so I mean, that this is the way which we explain the contradiction between the measurement of thumbs and the measurement of eggs. That something is wrong.
This one is much more subject to accuracy in terms of winter and summer, or higher from the equator or lower, because...
That's, I mean, we spoke about that yesterday a little bit. I mean, the question is the minute And there's two ways of measuring over here. Again, remember, we're measuring in terms of minutes, which are man minutes, walking minutes, and we're measuring in terms of astronomical phenomena. The relationship of the two is very, very loose, right? As Ramat is pointing out, it changes every single day, and it changes, of course, by where you are on the globe. So that your latitude is going to make all the difference in the world. But
this measurement, the other one doesn't
make this measurement. So, not only that, the question is, of course, also your local. Your local level in terms of sea level is also going to make a difference. According to some shitas, according to the Moshe shita, for instance, you're the time of shtia on the top of a skyscraper, you could have in mincha, while on the bottom of the skyscraper you can have in myrrh. It goes according to actual view of the sun. And it could easily be a difference of the shear of Benesh Mashot between the 100th floor and the first floor, which is remarkable. That's the ultimate shtiegel. You're late for mincha. Take the elevator. So again, what we have to say about all these particular shear of minutes is that they're mechuvan at the equinox in Eretz Yisrael. And then we have to now change it. I'll leave it the time of the year. Change it. I'll leave it your mako. That makes things very, very complicated, which is why we could get all of these charts and so on. So the Gemara is trying to give us a reference point, which we could then move out by giving it an astronomical definition in terms of degrees, and then we can easily calculate any particular day what the actual time would be. But it certainly doesn't seem to make sense to throw out, this magical shear of 72 minutes or anything like that, because it's completely meaningless.
Was there a problem with misidentifying planets as
a star? A star and a planet does the same thing. It's just a reference point of light in the sky. It doesn't matter if that's where it's coming from.
Although the planets probably even the ones that you see in a day, which there are.
Right, exactly.
There's other astronomical phenomena.
We've got some planets that are smaller than high magnitude stars.
Why the equinox? Is that because the breeze is over?
No, because that's the time at which you have a... it's because that's the time at which you're going to have the sun most directly across from you. Right. Otherwise you have an angle of approach to the sun. So what day of the angle are you talking about? It changes from day to day. So continues the sugi now with our kohavim here. What do you do? There's one last thing that needs to be cleared up. And this was the subject of Tosfos earlier, which is that on Rav Yossi Bar Zvida, ha'osev alacha b'shnei bein hashmashot, chayav chatatz b'monafshav. If you do malacha during two bein hashmashot, you're going to definitely be chayav chatatz, because b'monafshav. If you hold it, it's laila, the time that you did it in, then it was chayav the first time you did it, because leil Shabbat was Shabbat. If you hold that it's yom, then you'll be chayav the second time on the malacha, because it was definitely still Shabbat. It was Yom. You won't be chayim on the first one. Now, Tosfos, who understood Rashi, or at least wanted to make it clear what the implications of Rashi were, even though they were illogical, that the earlier sugya of Zivot, where he was Roish Nei Ben Hashmashot, the question is whether Ben Hashmashot A is Min HaYom and Ben Hashmashot B is Min HaLaila, is of course Mufrach from this Gemara, besides being illogical. In other words, the Lashon of Rashi was Mashma, that it's possible to view Bein HaShmashot differently every day. Because being as things change, so Bein HaShmashot could change. Maybe there's other phenomena to take into consideration.
So there's nights and
days. That's the way he's Mashma, which starts to say, well, obviously that can't be the case, because we have this Gemara that says Mamanashah. According to Rashi, Mamanashah. Maybe yesterday it was Min HaYom, and today it's Min HaLaila, and therefore you're Fata. Therefore, of course, he explains it. Here we're talking about you do the Malacha the entire Bein HaShmashot. Whereas the Riyah of the Zav was sometime during Bein HaShmashot, which we're not sure at that particular time. If you see it on two consecutive Bein HaShmashot, if the particular time that you saw it, the first part of it was Bein HaYom and Alayla, so okay, that's the question in the Gemara. So that this comes to clarify that point. Omar Rule, Rava Lashame, Rava told his valet, Haton Elokim Lechu, B'shi'ura D'Rabbanan. It's only the rabbis that can get these kind of things straight. I'm sure you guys are completely confused, right? So the way to remember is Adishim Sha'arej Dikle. When you see the sun between the trees, it's time to light the Neirot of Shabbat, and that way you'll be okay. So Atlo Shraga, light your Neirot Shabbat, and of course this would be the earliest time that you can light Neirot Shabbat, because it would be Niplag HaMincha, if we understand it to be Bein HaIlah. That's the same shiur that's given to you for Ni'ilah. But what do you do b'yom ha'me'unan mai? What if it's cloudy? And there is no shemesh b'na ilanot. Well, b'mata chazi tarnagula. If you live in the old city where people keep cocks in their house, there's only a couple of places like that, but we know where they are. So watch the tarnagul, and when it goes up to roost, then it's already going to be nighttime, because we know out of Tema Sahabibi now, the Tanagal has some very close connection, apparently not only to Alos HaShachar, but also to the Tzedek HaKofarim, and the Shia. If you're out in a field, the Dabra, Urbi, you can look at the crows. The crows are also sensitive to the falling of night. Inani Adani. You can always look at the Ani plant. The Ani plant faces the sun. And so you can watch it bend towards the west, because it can make out the sun through the cloud, sensitive to infrared. And therefore, there you've got your night vision. You can watch the plant bend. And perfect. You know what time it is.
And have you tell what the kids spend the whole afternoon until you tell me when it's the end of the process?
You think the sun stands still and the army stands still?
What happens?
When you watch the game.
Let's just say, so when it's at the very end, you know,
you know that it's time for skiers. So
some places actually close up their roofs.
Close up this one. This one follows the sun.
Got it. Is that a fire?
I'm fine. Sunflower. Tana Rabbanan, Sheish Tikiyot Tokin Erev Shabbat. We have 6 Tikiyot that are blown by the individual, the Chazan HaKnesset, was given a special shofar. When we say Tikiyot, we don't mean only the sound of a Tikiyah, we're including the sound of a Truah as well. So there are actually 6 sounds, in other words, that we sound Erev Shabbat. The first one, Rishona, is Lahavtila Ta'am Mimla Kasha Besedot. The first one tells people who are out of town, working in the field, it's going to take them time to get in, to get ready for Shabbat. We have an early Tikiyah, which is an early warning for those people. The second one, Shniya, is Lahavtila Ir V'Chanuyot. That's to tell people in town to close up shop, and it's time to stop whatever they're doing and get ready for Shabbat. Shlishit, the third one, is to do the actual Hadlakat Neirot in your home. Dibei Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say. The Shlishit is to give you time Lachalot Tefillin. That's when you take off your tefillin, because Shabbat loves Ban Tefillin. Vishoheh Kedet Sliyat Dag Katan. We're giving you enough time to get your herring ready, in case you forgot. O Kedei Lahadbik Pat B'Tanur. And then he gives the last 3 blasts. Tokea Umeiriah V'Tokea V'Shoveh. And then you do Shemitah, from which the Rishonim bring a raya that apparently after Hadlakat HaNer, there's still time to do Malava, which means that you're not Shovet immediately after Hadlakat HaNer, but rather Kabbalat Shabbat is specifically with Baruch Hu, or something that you do Kabbalat Shabbat, which came later than Minah, to be Makabal Shabbat, but Hadlakat HaNer would not be a presumptive act of Kabbalat Shabbat. This is a machloket Rishonim, and how to learn this Sugya Bahav argues. So the Shem is whether it's the Shira or whether it's the reality. For Tzliyat Katan and so on. The Chlal, and obviously you can have in that particularly otherwise. It became the minig that the women are Mekabel with the Hadlak, unless they say Befeirush otherwise. And that's the normal minig. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, yeah, but what are we supposed to do about those guys in Bavel who are so totally confused? Mana Selim Labadli, Shetokin Umeriyin Vishoftin Mitoch Meriyin. This is terrible. They don't do a Tkia, which is a nice upbeat tone. They are so miserable, they're like the Ashkenazim. They are shoves b'tov meiriah, which is a cry of misery. That's the true cry. And so mamela, when they daven, it sounds like they're in avelut. It's the broken sound. Yeah, so that's the yeshiva shadavening. Which is the opposite of the kia sound, and a nice upbeat, smart sound, where everything is happy and Shabbos day. So what are we supposed to do about them? It's the, it's obviously their minig. But wait. That doesn't make sense. Then they're going to be missing one of the 6. You're saying they're tokeo meiria, and then they're shoveit without doing the last tekiya. So, avilu chamisha. I mean, they're certainly not arguing on the shesh tekiyot, are they? No, I mean, they do a tekiya as the 4th tekiya, which is for Hadlakat HaNer, perhaps like with Christa. And then they're chozrin, there they, tokeo meirin, then they do another tekiya and a trua as the 5th and 6th sound. And then the Shokti Mitov Meriin. That's, I don't know what to do about it. It's been Hagavatemi Adam. I can't be Mabatha or Minna, but it's certainly, I mean, it's not the, not the correct way to do it, in my opinion. Well, you know how it is. Look back on the Golas truth. Machinal Rav Yudel Rav Yitzchak Bere, Shniel Adliket HaNer. Now, he was teaching Rav Yitzchak, his son, and he said the second Tkia is for Adlikas HaNer, which doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't follow any Shita. That's not like Rav Nassim, it's not like Rav Nassim, maybe it's either the 3rd or the 4th we have, but certainly not the 2nd. Sorry, it was Shlishit Ladlikas HaNer, Keman Kerevi Natan. Son of the Rabbi Yishmael, Shesh Tkiyot Okin Erev Shabbat, Tzkilat Kor Tkiyah Rishonah, as soon as people hear out in the field, they hear the beginning of the Tzkiyah, they let go of their tools. It's time to stop, abruptly. And even if you're near town, you'd like to get home quickly. You're not allowed to come into town. You have to wait until the people who are in the further fields come close to town, and then you come in together. You know why? Because if not, everybody is going to say about the people who walk in last, oh, these are the guys, they kept walking. They kept working, even after the Kiyah. The earlier people, they came in right away. Those are the frumies, and everybody else didn't care. So in order to avoid that, it's only proper for everyone to come together. Therefore, the people who are close should wait for the people who are far. And that's the first Kiyah. Then, the Adayin Chaniyot Ptuchot, Tvisin Munachin. Now, when they come into town, the town is still working, and the stores are still open. The trisim, the minute was you took the tris off of the front door and you put it on the amudim, which are lifnei chaniyot, and then you spread the schora on the trisim like they do in the Machane Yehuda. Then, when you're finished, take the schora, pile it back up, take the tris, put it on, lock it on the front of the store. So the trisim were still out, meaning that things were wide open. It's not like on Kolomoy that they had the door open a little bit and weren't expected. It's actually, the stores are wide open still, and people are allowed to still continue to come out buy their Shabbos wares. And then, after that, they did the next Kiyah, and so you had the the moment that they started the second Kiyah, the storekeepers would then, the stalker trisim, they would take up the trisim, close the kanuyot, ninalua kanuyot, but in homes, people were still doing their last things, the cholet is still up, kiderot munachot agabi kiderot, your hot water is up, your pots are still up, yitchilet kot kiyah shlishit, the third Kiyah, sileka misalek, whoever was going to take off his pots that are ready to be used now, pots that are going to be kept warm for the morning, for hatzmana, itmina matmin, hidlika madlik, now it was time for hadlaka, vishohek deitzliya dakatan, and this means the chazan, who was standing up there on the tower, he waits a little bit of extra time. He now does tekiya, shrua tekiya, and he shoveit immediately. I have a Kabbalah that if someone was late for hadlakat haner, he could still light after the sixth Kiyah. Because even though it says over here he should be shoveit, there was a little bit of extra time. What was the point of that extra time? He had time to go home, carrying his shofar. Well, that's ridiculous. What do you mean, to go home? Where's home? I mean, he came out of the Rebbe Shiurim. I understand what I mean. Did he live a block away? Did he live downstairs? Did he live across the street? You can't give a shiur to go home, because that doesn't mean anything. Every chazan gives us a different shiur. It means the mokum of the tkiyah, wherever that gog is, had a little container that could be locked, which would lock up his shofar, and that took another few seconds, and he wasn't metaldo his shofar on Shabbos. So we're going to get into that question, and into the more serious question, that even if the shofar is muksa on Shabbos, are you not allowed to continue to carry something that you were carrying if you had picked up something muksa and put it down? That is a serious problem. It's again, very much la'alacha. Why did they need to give him extra time to put his shofar down, since you can put your shofar down even on Shabbos, which we'll discuss tomorrow? But they gave him this extra time, lo'alik shofaro, into that little place, lafish ein mitatalim lo'at ha-shofar, v'lo et ha-chatzotzrot. Because on Shabbos, you cannot carry a shofar or a trumpet. A chatzotzra is a straight instrument, and you can't do anything with it. Now, this is a little problematic, because the shofar, Rashi understands that the shofar is a klisha v'lach t'lehetem, because it's not only meant for a musical purpose, it's easily used as a liquid storage unit. As a matter of fact, it has a very special liquid storage, because it was used as a typical baby bottle. So you have the tip of the shofar small enough for a child to drink from. So you would put your milk or liquid into the shofar, and then tip it as needed into the baby's mouth. And there you've got the original baby bottle. So there should be a big difference between a shofar and a chatzotzra, because a chatzotzra you can't use for anything else but making music, and you can't make music on Shabbat. So whether it's a shofar or a chatzotzra, you can't be metatal it. Ask the Gemara, but that doesn't make sense. Vatanya, does it say in the Braisa, shofar is mitaltel, you can carry a shofar on Shabbat. Only a chatzotzra ain't a mitaltelin. There you got a problem, because it serves no other purpose but making music. Why does it say that it's awesome? Amrev Yosef Rukasha. Kan b'yachid, kan b'tzibur. Depends. If you've got a chauffeur at your personal home, it's got other uses. The tzibur chauffeur is meant for music making. So here we're talking about the tzibur chauffeur. The tzibur chauffeur is mutzah. So I understand. What is a personal chauffeur good for that you're saying I can carry on Shabbos? Because overall, a tzibur chauffeur is by definition meant for the use of the poor. Any public funds have a double function. To be used for any public function, and furthermore, to be used for needs of the poor, which is a public function, because the public is responsible. So let's say you have a tinok oni, so you would be using the public chauffeur for the public baby bottle, so to speak, which is the baby bottle that's needed in the poor nursery supported by the tzibur.
A gemach,
exactly. So every chauffeur is a gemach baby bottle. So how would you be machalik between the chauffeur and the chatzotra, even if you're dealing with the tzibur? The two. What are you going to do with the other price? There's another price that says, and not only can you carry a shofar, you could also carry a chatzotzra, money. Now, who would that be going according to? So clearly, we have three separate shitot here. According to one, even the shofar, no. According to another, the shofar, yes, the chatzotzra, no. And according to yet another, both shofar and chatzotzra, yes. This introduces us to the sugya of muktzah, which we will get into tomorrow. Speaking of baby bottles for Abim, I want to announce the birth of a son to Shefi, which of course creates serious issues. Just now. Now, as you know, a week from today is... which makes some problems about Greeks. The chilufa bechalata. Yom Rabba chalata batrei kuri shurita tula unu batlata kuri asura tula. Rabbi Yosef omer batlata kuri nami shari batarva kuri asura. Omer laibu, mene gemar bishat maase. Vafilu batrei kuri lo shora likiman ki haitan edetan kibarat akash chabarat akanin ubos in Alexandri tava pishish lam shulayin ne marzikot arbim sabla. Shein kulayin biyavish torim. Om Rabba yishma min ahagut shatil tahavi. Abaya chazel rabba tukar. Only obviously the relationship of gucha is very much a function of the shape of the cleat. So Rashi says that we're talking about specifically something which is made kiyam shoshlom in that proportion. So it's the shatuach, flat and spread. So that's the shape that we're talking about. Abaya chazal rabbi de kadavi lemarav omar le vatanya pnei mizrach. Let's mention pnei mizrach. Madi mam le misav pnei mizrach mamash lo. Omre Yeramish Moko Khabakad Yom Shnai Minash Mashot Shloshalaila. Tayam Yafi. Kokabakad Yom Shnai Minash Mashot Shloshalaila. Omre Yosi Loko Havim Vidolina Nirimba Yongaloko Havim Tadim Shinirimela Balaila. Ella Benoni Ibn. Omre Yosi Bazivid, our similar Havishne, Minash Mashot Hatat, the Monosha. Omre Rabbishame. Atom the Lokina for the Shiva Rabbon and the Shimshari Stickly Hatushraga. The Yoma Munan, my, the Mata Kazitana Gola, the Daba Urvi, Inanri Adani. תנו רבנו שיש לי אותו בניין שבת ראשונה להתיר את העמים להקש בשדות שנייה להתיר עיר בחנויות שלישית להתיק את הנרת ברבי נתן רבי יהודה הנשיא אומר שלישית לחדות סטפילין ושוהה כדי צביעת בר קטן או כדי להדביק פת תנו ותוקע מריר ותוקע ושורות אומר שבי אמר מה נעשה להם לבבלים שתוקעים מריים ושופטים מתוך מריים תוקעים מריים עד לחמישה אלה שתוקעים וחוזרים ותוקעים מריים ושופטים מתוך מריים נו, מנהג הבתיהם בידיהם מתי לא רבי אלו רבי יצחק בר שנייה להדליק את הנר כמן, לא כרבי נתן, לא כרבי נתן, אלא שלישית להדליק את הנר כמן, כרבי נתן. תודה רבה רבי ישמעאל שישקיעו אותי מערב שבת לתחילת קורת כראשונה נמנוע עומדים בסתה מילה הדור מלאך הראשון לעשות כמלאכה שבסודות אלא הקרובים רשאים להיכנס עד שיבואו רחוקים ויכנסו כולם כאחד ועדיין חנויות פתוחות לציג מונחים התחילו לתקיעות כהשנייה להסתכל עד לסין ננעלו החנויות ועדיין חמים מונחים אגב הקירה וגדרות מונחות אגב הקירה התחיל לתקוע עד כי השלישית, סילק המסלק, התמין המתמין, הדליק המדליק, ושווק את אצל ידה קטן, עובדי להדליק פת בתנור, תוקע מריר ותוקע, ושובט. אומר לזה ברד לכן נראה שמעתי, שאם בא להדליק אחר שש שקיות מדליק, שנותנו חכמים של חזן הכנסת, לא עולה שאוכל על ביתו, אם כן נתת ברך על שיעוני, אלא, מקום צנוע יש לחזן הכנסת בראש גדול, ששם מניח שאופרו, לפי שאין מתאטמין, לא את השופר ולא את החצוצרו. התניה שופר מתעתר, חצוצות אינה מתעתר. אומר רבי יוסף לא קשה, כאן ביחיד כאן בציבור. אומר לו, יבר ביחד למה יחזי? הוא אומר לו, אלא גם היה בו מים לתינוק, שבציבור נמי חזי לגמי לתינוק. ותראו, עד אדם יקשם שמתעתן את שופר, כך מתעתן את החצוצות, מה אני? תגיד לי.